And welcome in to the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt. Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Rex Road out today. He will be back tomorrow. So Rex Road back in the fold tomorrow. Paul Kuharsky will be with us tomorrow as well in the 7 o'clock hour, live from Georgia. Day number 2 of joint practice for the Titans coming up today against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll have Nick Suss from the Tennessee and join us here in about 30 minutes as the Titans prepare for day number 2. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly BHI membership where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm praying all of Nashville is not completely sick of my voice right now, but, you know, it is what it is. I've been on the air. Friday I was on for 6 straight hours. Saturday I was on. Sunday I was on. And then yesterday I was on. So,
is that a humble brag? What we got?
Yeah.
Ian, what's the ruling? Is that a humble brag by Connor Newt?
Maybe a little there. Yeah.
Sounds good. I could never grow tired of your voice, Connor Newt, so well, I'm glad to have you with us today.
That's nice. That's nice to hear. I've been told now by Robbie that I have the voice of an angel.
You have the voice of an angel? I'm looking out for you. We just saw a news story of some woman in Bayou La Batterie, Alabama, lighting her ex-boyfriend's car on fire.
So I mean, based on
trying to be careful of the dating pool.
That's right. We're giving relationship advice.
Yeah. Upon looking at her, I mean, she does look like she would be the one to commit arson. So.
Well, you know, there's a big hole in the seat of the car there. So whatever she did, successful to light the ex-boyfriend's car on fire. So just got to really be careful of who you're spending your time with out there. That was kind of my message to Connor Newt in the pre-show meeting this morning. So I hope you took it to heart.
Oh, I did. From two married men, it means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. Hope everybody's being careful on the roads this morning. It's raining kind of hard. There's some standing water.
It was.
Some
yes.
Ponding.
Not good.
We needed rain today, though.
Yeah, my garden will appreciate that. So,
except we got a mow. That kind of sucks.
It was.
Yep.
All right, we have the YouTube chat already going nuts for a gout check on Rex Road.
No, gout
check. I guess I can't confirm, but I'm 97% sure that this is nothing to do with gout. This was pre-planned.
Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
The one day where he didn't show up and had gout, that was not pre-planned.
Correct.
So this one, reasonably confident that it is not anything to do with gout. But I do appreciate the YouTube chat immediately checking in on Rex Road to make sure his gout is under control. Last I heard, he's still managing this one quite effectively. So I don't think there's gout to worry about today. Just so you know.
That's good to hear.
And it's good.
We're praying for you, Rex Road.
It is good to hear that. We do have a lot to get into on the program today. Like I said, Nick Suss will be with us from the Tennessean coming up at 6:30. Brian Callahan speaking around 8:40 this morning. So we are going to do our very best, depending on when he walks up to the podium, to carry that whole thing live for you here on the show as we close out our show. So Brian Callahan will be addressing the media later this morning at 8:40, and we will have that press conference for you. Got the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. All that ahead. We begin, Connor, with day number 1 of joint practices for the Tennessee Titans, which according to the people who were there, and you and I were not one of those people.
Nope.
There were a lot of Titans media contingents that were down there. Didn't go very well for the Tennessee Titans. I'll just read a brief synopsis from our man Teron Davenport that says this, quote, "Overall takeaway from the first Titans practice today is not good. They seem sluggish to start offensively. A lot of balls on the ground. Struggled to run the ball in team period early, too. Meanwhile, Michael Penix and the Falcons cut up the Titans' secondary. It's one practice, so no need to panic, but it wasn't good today." That was what TD had to say on day number 1 of joint practices between the Titans and the Falcons yesterday. So that does not sound good, and like he said, it's one day of practice. But there have been a pretty heavy sprinkling of less than inspiring practices, particularly from the offense, to this point in camp. And one thing that we've talked about in that is, all right, well, how much of that is the offense and a rookie quarterback and those guys struggling, and how much of it is maybe some pretty good play from the Titans defense? And when you see basically a breakdown by TD there, Connor, that shows the offense struggling the way that they did yesterday, that has been relatively consistent throughout camp, where Cam Ward is throwing interceptions and they're just not able to generate much. And then you couple that with apparently Michael Penix and the Falcons just lighting up the Titans secondary yesterday. That is not a very good feeling as a Titans fan.
I think that's kind of an oracle telling us this team's probably not going to be very good. I can kind of get past all the performance-related issues TD mentioned there, like the run game was weak and the quarterback didn't look good. The thing I can't get past is that they looked sluggish to start and just never rolled up. As an NFL team, especially on a visiting area for joint practices, should you not be a high-energy team from the start of practice? And that's kind of been an issue for the Titans throughout the preseason is the energy's just not there. Like, I remember the first day, D-Mace and I were both there, and we both agreed, like, this does not look good. And it seems like it hasn't really improved from an energy standpoint throughout the entire preseason, really.
Yeah, the slow starts are interesting. Now, you know, it's one thing to slow start, I guess, in like the first period of your team practice. But when you're going up against somebody else, like when you're in a competitive environment like we know some of these joint practices can be, that's not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, among others, talked about that yesterday. And basically Jeffrey Simmons said, like, I'm tired of talking about it. Like, it's on – we're professional football players. Like, it's on you to come out here and be ready to go. And you shouldn't need anybody to talk to you about it. Like, it's – you know, Cam Ward said something similar, you know, a couple weeks ago of, like, if you need somebody to motivate you out here, you're probably in the wrong business. But clearly, like, that's a problem. And again, as more of this stuff comes out and we start talking about energy level and we start talking about, you know, starting practices slow, all that sounds bad, but I can't help but wonder in the background if all that stuff just really means, yeah, the Titans look like they don't have any energy because they're not very good.
Yeah.
Like, they just, you know, you watch them and you're like, wow, this team's kind of lacking some energy out here. Is it that, or are they just not very good? Like, they're just not as good as the teams that they're playing against. Now, offensively, that's when you start to get a little concerned by that because, again, I have never been a believer that the Titans' struggles offensively to this point in camp have been some great reflection of the Titans' defense. Like,
right.
You can't convince me that with the pass rush group that they've got out there and with a secondary that to this point in camp has not featured Legarius Sneed, that the Titans' offensive struggles in camp are because the Titans' defense is going to be the second coming of the 85 Bears out there, right? Like, it just
right.
I've never bought that. So it leads me to believe that where they are right now with still, you know, a few weeks before the regular season comes around, there's a whole lot of work to do. A whole lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say day one of joint practice, not very encouraging for the Tennessee Titans. Now, the good thing about this week is, you know, last week it was one practice and done, and then you got into the preseason game where Tampa Bay basically elected to not play any of your starters. You got another day today, so you got another chance at practice to go out there today and respond and rebound, and we'll see if the Titans can do that. But I saw a lot of Titans fans yesterday, Connor, kind of reading and reacting, and, you know, some on DVD were talking about this. Like, it feels like this is rough right now for the Tennessee Titans in camp, which is not good.
I wouldn't go in expecting a good football team or a good record. I would honestly, if I were to you were to ask me right now, I'd expect the Titans to pick in the top five because I don't think they're going to be very good. Now, one thing that has been good is, as we saw on Saturday, the connection between Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley.
And there's apparently a couple more instances of that yesterday.
Yes, from what I've read. What needs to happen, I think, is Cam Ward maybe needs to spread the wealth a little bit. Venture outside of the safety blanket of Calvin Ridley. I understand he's a rookie quarterback and you need that safety blanket that is Calvin Ridley. But that will also help your chemistry on offense is if you spread the wealth, and that's on the receivers too. Get open. Find ways to get open and haul in the ball. I'm just not convinced this offense is going to be good at all. The defense is going to be even worse, I'm convinced. I mean, they have no one to hit the quarterback. Outside of safety, there's really no depth on this defense in any positional group. And you kind of saw, granted, Simmons and Sweat didn't play on Saturday.
Yep.
That kind of factored into it. But you kind of saw the defense and what they're capable of on Saturday. And Femi Oladejo didn't look all that great. The inside linebackers were not good. James Williams made a play on special teams, but other than that, you didn't really see much out of that. So that's where my main worry is how this defense is going to look, because it doesn't look good right now, Robbie.
Oh, and what you don't want to see and hear about is, you know, in particular, what TD talked about yesterday, and that is the Titans secondary getting carved up by Atlanta. Now, again, it's one day.
And Atlanta has a good offense.
And Atlanta's got a good offense, and, you know, we'll see exactly a little bit more what Michael Penix actually is this year. But we know that generating pressure on the quarterback with the roster that the Titans have is going to be a very difficult thing to pull off this year. Like, it's there, the sacks are going to be hard to come by for the Titans this year. So what you hope to offset some of that is you get good play in your secondary to be able to cover maybe a little bit longer so some of your guys can get home and put some pressure on the quarterback. And to hear that the secondary basically just got shelled yesterday by Atlanta.
It's nice.
Not very good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. It apparently did not go very well for the Titans yesterday in day one of practices against Atlanta. We'll take your thoughts on that. Nick Suss from the Tennessean, who was there, will join us at 6:30. We'll get his opinion on what he saw as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Talked about a slow start, and I guess you guys had that last week. Is there something that you, as one of the leaders, can you do something to make, like, not have a slow start like
that? Nah, TD, I think everybody just got to come out with a mindset. And I said it this morning, like, you know, we could come out and hoorah, we could come out and yell, this and that. We grown men. It's a professional football. God's got to come out ready. We knew they was going to come out prepared and ready to practice. I mean, it's practice. In the game, we start out slow. We saw it last season, down 28-0. So at the end of the day, you know, we keep saying we starting slow. We started slow in Tampa, started slow in Atlanta. Like, it's time to start fast. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's a lot of things that we keep saying this year, which I keep hating to go back to last year. We kept saying the same thing last year. So I think at the end of the day, I mean, we've been saying it forever, and that's one thing we kept saying last year. Say less, do more. Come out here and do it.
That's Jeffrey Simmons yesterday after practice. You know, we've talked a lot about Jeffrey Simmons over the last couple years here on this program. I agree with every last syllable of everything you said there. Like, you know, yes, we can look to the leadership on the team, and we've talked a lot about that. We can also look to the coaching staff, and I have a feeling we're going to continue to talk about that throughout the year based on the way I think this might go. But, like, you are a professional football player. Like, get yourself ready to go. Like, get out there and get ready to practice. And, again, that's why I keep coming back to, like, how much of this is the Titans don't have energy or the Titans don't have the right focus or approach in practice, and how much of this is they're just not very good. Like, I think there's probably more of a leaning to the latter there than we want to admit around here of, like, the Titans look on paper like they're a bad football team, and at times when they get matched up against other teams, they get exposed for being a bad football team. That's more and more of what I'm starting to believe is going on there.
What I've learned about Jeffrey Simmons over the years is that he is the king of holding himself and the team accountable and then not making a change about it. So you can listen to him say, you know, we're lacking energy and we got to come out here and start fast, but I'm not going to believe what he says until I see a change. And based on the Titans' past and how it's been for them, I have a hard time seeing a change coming anytime soon. Maybe that's the pessimist in me, but that's just how I feel about it.
Well, and I understand if you're like a Titans fan out there and you're trying to look for something beyond just the on-paper roster of this group that ain't very good. It's like, well, what about the coach? Like, how is it that We've talked about energy level in camp. You know, we spent a lot of time in the offseason talking about Brian Callahan trying to get his group ready to go and, you know, getting all these games going and trying to, you know, up the competitiveness around there. And now we keep talking about either slow starts in practice, slow starts in a joint practice, you know, and lack of energy that some have observed around camp. And I definitely understand if you're a Titans fan, you hear that and you say, well, isn't something on the coach? Like, get your guys ready to go. And I agree with that to a certain extent. I also think, like, if you've got the right guys in your locker room, the coach really should not have to be the one to get you motivated to practice. It's the National Football League, right?
Right.
Like, you should be ready to go. You should be, and again, at this point in camp, you know, we've been in camp for a couple of weeks now, and you know, if it's going up against your same team and your guys, like, I do think there probably reaches a point of monotony with all that, where you're like, my God, here we are again, another day. We're going up against the same guys on my team, where we're hitting my own teammates, and I'm ready to hit somebody else. Well, guess what? Yesterday you were hitting somebody else, and you come out slow that way. That's just that's not great. So if that happens again today, like if we're talking today about, boy, the Titans sure are starting slow out there again, it becomes progressively more difficult for me to believe that's about, like, mindset or approach. And it's just about these guys are not good. Like, the talent level is just not good. And you look slow and you look unprepared when you are not as good as the players lining up across from you, which I think could be the case for the Titans quite often this year.
Now, I think some of that is Atlanta's offense in particular is a lot younger than the Titans' defense. I mean, you have a young quarterback, you have a young tight end, or a young receiver, a young running back, pretty much young pieces all around. So I could see a world in where they're faster and more energized, but to your point, Robbie, you're in the National Football League. This is the highest level of professional football in the world, and you're not going to go out there and perform to your highest energy capability. I mean, that's ridiculous. And I think part of it, too, is, you know, like you said, this team's not very good. And the Atlanta Falcons are a fringe playoff team, I think, and I'm actually very high on them this year to win the NFC South. So,
hot take.
Hot take. I thought hot take was banned on this station. I thought.
No, hot take.
Hot take.
There we go. Yeah. I like it.
I don't know. I'm high on them this year, but I just, Titans' energy level is so low, and it makes me think, A, they're not good, and B, they don't really care that they're not good because they know it.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I do think that it is a delicate balance between the coach and the player. And I don't know if y'all saw those video cuts yesterday of the team walking into Flowery Branch practice facility.
I did.
Yeah, and I don't know what your takeaways on that. I'd love to hear it because I got a couple things. But, you know, to me, this team just, like, they just looked defeated going into there. And then once I – because I had the context of it was a slow, sluggish practice and all that beforehand. And then whenever I was able to get on social media later on in the day, I was – like, all this footage had come out, I think, from Teron and others, right?
Yeah.
But they just looked, like, defeated. And maybe it is. I think there's an argument that could be placed on both ends here of, yes, you're a professional, but also, too, it could be a coaching thing. But I just, you know, this just is giving me less and less water to carry for Callahan moving forward. And it's just not really a great look because there's so much, like, there's just a lot of consistencies with this team. And they're not really the best consistency. So, I mean, again, I know it's early and everything else, but, you know, I guess we'll see. But I wasn't surprised by seeing the body language on those guys yesterday. They just looked like they know they're bad. There's nothing they can do about it. Their coach is probably patting them on the back, giving them all rah-rah speech. But I want to pass on that for a second and go to Simmons. I don't think that he's re-signing here because I don't think in 2 years, what, 3 years of his contract is 2028, right?
Technically. But yeah, he's going to want an extension before then, yeah.
So, I mean, I think I'm really starting to feel pity for Simmons. Like, and maybe I'm the only one, and I know he talks a lot of jive and everything else, but I'm really starting to feel for Simmons because he's probably not – he's not, like, an elite player, a part of, like, the elite of the elite crust of the NFL, but he's right there underneath the top of the layer of the cake. You know what I'm saying? He's still a great player. And we have nobody even coming close to Simmons at any other position group. I feel like we missed our opportunity last year on the trade package with New York, and we got Cam Ward, yay, and a second-round defensive end that can't play. I feel like that we're going to have to trade Simmons because he's not going to want to come back here, especially if the team is going to be turned over yet again and the organization in the front office is going to be turned over again. So what do you all kind of think on that? Do you feel sympathy with Simmons in this situation? And have a great rainy Friday, people. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. Well, a couple things on that. Number one, it's Wednesday, so it's not Friday.
It's keep not rainy Friday.
Yeah, keep that in mind. It is Wednesday. So if you're hoping it was Friday out there, it's not. Here, on the Callahan front real quick, whether the slow starts or lack of energy or whatever's going on or whatever you want to call it, which, again, I think is more and more starting to be, they're just not a very good football team. Regardless of what you think it is, it does not reflect well on Callahan. And I've said this before. You know, I think, obviously, with it, as horrible as last year was, he survives and he gets to have his new quarterback now and see what he can do. But the microscope, certainly from the fan base, and I think to a certain degree from the front office, is going to be pretty tight on Callahan this year, to the point where, like, whether it's his fault or not that these guys are coming out and either starting slow or don't appear to be motivated or whatever you think's going on out there, it's going to come back on him at some point, right? Like, I said it last week, if he's going to survive this, yes, Cam Ward has to play great, and that's the most important part of this is the development of Cam Ward. But he's got to show some things as a head coach this year to get this group to elevate. Like, he's got to show that he's got something special to him, why he was hired. Like, he's got to show that this year. And if we're talking, and we all understand that this team is not talented and that they're not going to be some playoff contender and that they're not, you know, they're not going to finish 11-6 this year. We all get that. But if they're just completely awful again and they're lifeless halfway through the season, then I don't know how you look at your head coach and don't make a change there. Like, that, there's a lot on Callahan from that part of it that they got to get figured out. This, we'll pick this conversation back up and get to a couple other points that Jared brought up there coming up at 6:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nick Suss from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw in day one of joint practices down there in Atlanta. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Connor Newt, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to day number two of joint practices between the Titans and the Falcons. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who does a great job covering the Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning, man. How are we doing?
We're good. We're good. How are y'all?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So it sounds, Nick, like things did not go very well for the Titans yesterday, which is, frankly, starting to becoming a theme, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You were there, so you tell us. What did you see yesterday from the Titans? Maybe more importantly, what did you not see from the Titans? What were your impressions from day one?
There is a definitional conversation that I like in media criticism, which asks, does something being bad mean it has a surplus of negativity or an absence of positivity?
I like that.
Yesterday, I would describe as a day that was absent of positivity. I wasn't looking around and seeing sloppy football. I wasn't looking around and seeing a lot of negative plays, a lot of terrible plays. I just wasn't seeing anything exciting. I wasn't seeing anything that inspired me to say, wow, yeah, that's a step forward. And so I think when you're seeing and hearing and reading these descriptions of yesterday's practice, we need to frame it that way. And we need to frame a lot of what has happened at Titans training camp that way. When we're talking about bad, we are not necessarily saying, oh, they're making mistakes. Oh, they are doing these things that are preventably bad. It's just hard to get excited about what the team is doing right now. And maybe that is by design. The joint practice in Tampa was designed to be a lot of checkdowns, a lot of short passes, a lot of quick throws, and it looked fairly positive. And then they do a similar thing here in Atlanta, and it didn't look that positive offensively. I'm going to spend time with the defense today. I checked out the offense more yesterday so I can speak more about what the offense was doing. But yeah, it is a situation where I hesitate to be like, oh, this was awful. Oh, this was bad. Because I think the connotation of that for most people means something's broken. Whereas the way I'm seeing it is they're just not explosive yet, and they're just not making big sack plays, big turnover plays, big game-changing plays on defense, and they're not moving the ball in an explosive way on offense.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So to that point, like, you know, I think on the offensive side of the ball especially, Nick, like, it's a rookie quarterback, right? So
right.
I think you had to expect some of this in camp of, and even some of this as the regular season begins, of there's going to be some growing pains that we see along the way. So, like, the offensive part of it, I guess, really doesn't surprise me all that much. Now, we've talked a lot through camp of, you know, the offense maybe not being explosive yet, how much of that has to do with the Titans' defense. And when I hear, like, Teron Davenport yesterday said basically the secondary got shelled by Atlanta. When I see that, I'm like, well, I know on paper this group does not have, you know, enough pass rushers to get after the quarterback. And when you're talking about a secondary also getting shelled, that does scare me to death if I'm a Titans fan, thinking about what that could mean for the defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, when your defense is built in a way where you don't have outstanding one-on-one winners at pass rush, you need to be able to counteract that with corners who can win in press man coverage. And that's how the defense was built coming into last season. You looked at it, you had Snead and Ouzier on both sides, and then McCreary in the slot, and Jarvis Brownlee as a depth option. Now Snead's hurt, Ouzier's not here, Brownlee has been elevated to a de facto number one, McCreary's still in the slot, and you have Daryl Baker and Marcus Harris and some of these guys competing for that last job.
Yep.
That's a lot less experience. That is a lot less expected talent. And I'm not blaming it on the corners, because the problem is still the lack of pass rush skill. But the way to mitigate that lack of pass rush skill has been diminished. And this is a Titans offseason that we all watched unfold in time. And we all knew in time the emphasis was on building up the offense and building up the offensive depth. That doesn't mean they ignored the defense, but to a certain degree, they didn't have the resources to go find defensive depth in addition to the starters. So they're a little bit surface level on this defense right now. And I've kind of been banging that drum for a few weeks now of,
yep,
once you get past the starting 11 on this defense, there really isn't much. And if you're factoring Snead into that 11, yeah, the secondary is going to be a concern, or the cornerback play is going to be a concern. And you're going against a Falcons offense with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and a lot of really, really talented guys on the perimeter. So it's not a surprise fundamentally when it is a bit of a struggle to do the thing that you fundamentally need to do in order for this defense to work.
Talking to Nick Suss of the Tennessee, and Nick, you said you've spent a lot of time with the offense yesterday, and one position position group I've seen being talked about a little bit more positively is the offensive line. Can you,
right,
speak a little bit on the offensive line and what they've been doing, maybe not completely perfectly, but right to some extent?
I like the unit right now, and like I would say yesterday was one of the first days where I noticed there were clear and obvious run holes available. Tony Pollard had a pretty solid day, and it's thudding. They're not going to the ground, so who knows? Maybe these were 2-yard gains instead of 8-yard gains, and practice limits it. It's so hard to say in these joint practices, but I think that even without Lloyd Cushenberry back in the lineup yet, there is some positivity around the way the unit can play as a run blocking unit. And then I think there was one or two plays yesterday that I would have called true quarterback pressure situations, and Cam threw the ball 29 times yesterday. The Falcons aren't famous for their pass rush, and anyone who's followed the NFL and the draft in the last 3 or 4 years knows how much the Falcons have kind of ignored building up that position. But they did pick a first rounder this year, James Pierce, and I think they've got some, maybe another early round pick in the position as well. I think they started putting some talent towards it. And again, 29 dropbacks for Cam and two, maybe three pressures. It is a stronger unit. And I've been saying this all off season, but the jump from 32nd to 16th is a lot bigger than the jump from 16th to first. The 16th to first is probably more valuable, but you're going to see much more gigantic results going from bad to average. And if that's what the Titans can do this year, that is a huge, huge win.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Cushenberry, I'll be honest, I didn't know heading into camp when we'd see him coming off the Achilles, but the fact that he's already back out there and is off PUP, I think is a great sign. So we'll see what that means for him and his availability early in the year. But, you know, just to see him back as quickly as he is, not knowing exactly what that was going to look like heading into camp, how big of a shot in the arm is that for Bill Callahan and this offensive line group?
Oh, that's big, and that's not to take anything away from Corey Levin, who I think is doing a pretty stellar job of filling in for Cushenberry. But look, this is a guy who the Titans paid to be one of the five highest paid centers in the NFL, and it's not like last year he played like a top five center. Last year there were some growing pains, and he will admit that there was a lot of learning to play with the expectations and learning to play in a new scheme. And there were some growing pains. It's not like he was giving up sack after sack after sack, but he wasn't perfect. And now talking to Lloyd, he has doubled down on the commitment to focusing on the football side, to being the professional that the Titans need him to be. And he's also spent these 9 months crafting his body, doing what he can while the Achilles was on the mend. Like, he is a transformed player to an extent, and that is a huge win for a guy who was already expected to play like a top five center in the NFL. So if you have that plus Peter Skoronski is a guy who I think could ostensibly be the best player on the Titans offense right now, just the way he's performed in camp. And you've got a transformed Latham, and then you have a really steadying presence in Kevin Zeitler, and then Dan Moore is the great unknown. But again, if he's 16th best in the NFL, that is a massive upgrade over the tackle you've replaced in this offense. So, yeah, it all stems from Cushenberry, but I do think this line can be better.
Nick, last thing here for you before we let you go. We know you got a busy day today. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. I'm not going to ask you like when you think we're going to see Legarius Sneed, because I don't know that the Titans even really know the answer to that question. But I'll just ask it this way. How do you view his situation right now, where it just looks like practice doesn't even look like it's within the scope of reality for him right now? And then I guess he's just expected to step out there in week one and play, and to play at a really high level. Like, I'm struggling to get there with Legarius Sneed. How do you kind of read this whole thing?
It's going to sound glib, but the thing I've been saying over and over again is I'll see him when I see him. I'll believe it when I believe it.
Yep.
Like, I am no longer in the market. I have removed myself from the market of speculating about Legarius Sneed. I will tell you what I see from Legarius Sneed when I see something from Legarius Sneed. He has practiced maybe 10 times since the Titans traded for him.
Yeah.
He has played in 5 games since the Titans traded for him. There have been moments when he looked like the guy the Titans traded for. There have been a lot of moments when he didn't look like the guy the Titans traded for, and there have been significantly, significantly more moments where it has been impossible to tell because he's not on the field. So you ask my read on it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter my read on it. What matters is eventually, theoretically, he will be back on a football field. And when he is back on a football field, I will tell you what it looks like.
Fair enough. I like it. Nick Suss, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Enjoy joint practice number two down there today, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean does a great job covering the Titans for that outlet. We will react to what Nick had to say coming next. A lot of your Titans thoughts to get to. There is some breaking news on a contract front in the NFL that we'll get to as well coming up next. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. You can get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate Nick Suss from the Tennessean for being with us in that last segment. Connor, before we pick up where Nick Suss kind of left off there, I do have a contract that has gone down in the NFL. Ian Rappaport, among others, putting it out there that James Cook and the Buffalo Bills have agreed to a four-year, $48 million contract extension, $30 million of which is guaranteed. So James Cook has not been practicing at the running back spot for the Buffalo Bills and now has finally agreed to terms with a new contract. So he will be back out there. 4 years, $48 million, $30 million of which is guaranteed. So James Cook gets his deal in Buffalo. The Bills get their running back on the field up there. James Cook last year had 207 carries, 1,009 yards, and 16 touchdowns. 16 touchdowns.
Good for
him.
On
the ground for James Cook last year. So, again, like those rushing totals aren't really going to blow you away. Like, it's not like James Cook is some 1,500-yard back. He had 1,100 yards 2 years ago, just over 1,000 last year. He has been pretty durable. I mean, he played in 16 games last year, played in 17 games the year before that. So he's been a pretty durable back to this point in his career, and now he's got his new deal in Buffalo.
I mean, good for him. He's a good young back. He fits that offensive scheme perfectly. But I think based on those stats you read and based on actually watching him play, he's more of a goal line back. That's why his touchdown numbers are so inflated in contrast to his actual rushing numbers. But he fits that offense so well. Good for James Cook. I'm excited to see a young back keep it going.
So Buffalo keeps the band together, and they avoid problems with their running back heading into the regular season. And we'll see if this is finally the year where they break through in the AFC. I thought several interesting things from Nick Suss there in that conversation. He kind of framed the offense and says, you know, it's not really that the offense is making a ton of mistakes out there. It's just that they're not really doing anything overly explosive, right? Like there are very few what I would call wow plays that the offense are making out there. Which again, you know, to a certain degree, with a rookie quarterback, I have that expectation coming into camp. Like, it's going to be a process. You know, we got people in the YouTube chat, like K-Dot in the YouTube chat says, good Lord, let's get to some games where we could see how much they actually are horrible or rather than just, like, overanalyzing practice. And I could not agree more. Like, this is one of my least favorite times of year of just dissecting practices all the time.
Overreaction
when we don't have
season.
Actual games to go on. But it's all we got to go on right now, so we talk about it. But, like, I can deal with the offense having ups and downs throughout camps. Now, frankly, I would probably have liked to have seen more ups at this point than we've seen from the offense. So that part of it is concerning to me. But, again, like, he talked about the defense, and I think it's a good point. You know, there are certainly some questions for the defense, even amongst their starters. Like, you know, edge rusher, I have no idea how they're getting after the quarterback. If Snead isn't out there playing, I don't like their corner room right now. I think it's got – like, Brownlee was a good story last year. Like, if Brownlee's your number one corner, I don't know that that's a very good thing. So, there's a lot with the starters to pick apart. But he is right. Like, you get beyond that. And other than safety, where I think they've got some intriguing depth right now, there's, like, no depth. There's very little depth on this defense. And again, you know, we talked about the defense earlier. Like, I can see a scenario where they're just not very good. Like, the defense is not very good, and that is not good for a young quarterback. That's not good for anybody involved there. So that to me was the more concerning development of yesterday rather than the offense, which I think we knew was going to be a work in progress.
Yeah. Kind of to speak on you saying a defense is not good for a young quarterback, you're right, because that would teach a young quarterback you got to play from behind pretty much every game. It's not good for the mentality, but like you said, there is zero depth outside of safety on this team. I mean, the cornerback room, Jarvis Brownlee is not a number one cornerback. Then you have Roger McCreary, and who else do you have? Marcus Harris, who you just drafted in the sixth round. I wouldn't feel good about trotting out a sixth-round rookie as a starting corner. You got no one to hit the quarterback. Femi Oladejo, obviously, they want to tell you is ahead of schedule, but you saw him in the preseason game on Saturday. He didn't do anything.
Needs work. Yeah.
You got two, you know, defensive tackles that don't hit the quarterback. They stuff the run okay, but I wouldn't go so far to say, as Jeffrey Simmons says, nobody runs on the Tennessee Titans, because they do, in fact, run on the Tennessee Titans. It is something that happens. But it's just zero depth. You look at this defense on paper, and there's just no light at the end of the tunnel for you. You kind of expect mediocrity.
Well, they're a football team, and again, this is not new. They're a football team that we know is a work in progress, and the most important part of that to fix this offseason was the quarterback and was the offense. So I can live with that, right? Like I can live with you not being exactly where you need to be or want to be defensively. Now, I'm watching Oladejo very closely, because to me, if you're taking an edge rusher in the second round, like, he needs to be a guy that can come in and can contribute immediately, even if it's not his best level immediately. But he needs to be able to play for you. And look, it's training camp. So if Femi Oladejo isn't ready to get out there and be a huge contributor week one, I can probably still live with that. But as the season goes on, you need to see some pretty dramatic improvement from him. Like, he's got to reach a point at the end of the year where you're feeling pretty good about what you've got there in him. And I'm not saying that he's got to have, you know, seven sacks or whatever it is this year, but like there needs to be some pretty steady progress for a guy that I think we all feel like is a project that got taken in the second round. You're still talking about a second round pick at that point. So I can live with all that, but the Snead thing is still just what gets me. Like, they made the Snead trade, and I realize the general manager who made that trade is gone now. But it still feels like we're waiting on him to just magically appear week one, having not practiced at all, and to go out there and play high-level football. And I just don't know that – like, the more and more I think about that and for how long it's been since he played – like, I don't know that we're living in reality with that. Like, do we think that Snead is just going to step on the field in the Denver game, having not practiced at all, having not played football in a competitive setting in almost a full calendar year, and he's just going to be some shutdown corner out there?
Yeah.
Maybe he can prove me wrong. I have no idea. How often do we see that happen in the NFL?
I think Nick put it perfectly, that he's stopped, you know, expecting to see L'Jarius Snead on the practice field until he sees it. He said, I'll tell you what he does on the field when I see him on the field. I'm in the camp of, I wouldn't expect to see L'Jarius Snead anytime soon, if at all, in a Titans uniform. I
mean, I can't blame you for that. Like, it's, you know, I said it yesterday, it continues to be amazing to me that in the span since we've last seen L'Jarius Snead play football for this team, in anywhere, on the practice field, anywhere, that Lloyd Cushenberry, a 300-some-odd-pound offensive lineman, has torn and fully recovered from an Achilles. Like, it's amazing.
Which is a very difficult injury to recover from.
It's, especially for a guy that big. Like, it's amazing to me that that's what we're talking about here, but that's where we are. Well, there's a couple thoughts on the Cam Ward front that I want to get to. Coming up next, we'll continue to take more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. There is an interesting story in college football that we will get to later next hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.